Good morning and happy new year. I hope that you're all someplace warm and safe on this cold winter morning. So, considering the fact that we've just entered the new year, hopefully you've already decided to start a daily Bible reading program. Whether you're trying to read it all in 1 year or two, it is important to have it. Have a habit of daily scripture reading. If we claim that we love the Lord, God our Father, Jesus our Savior, and the Spirit our guide, the indwelling presence of God that marks us as our children, then we should have pleasure in reading, learning, and hearing His word preached so that our knowledge of Jesus grows. Our relationship with Jesus is strengthened, and our lives are changed so that we may be more complete humans, created in His image, born again into the family of God. When Luke recorded the events of the day that Jesus was resurrected, he emphasized the appearance of Jesus to his disciples. And not only his appearance, but the conversations that he had with them. I want to read Luke 24, verses 25 through 27, and verses 44 through 45. It says, "And then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures." These verses record Jesus' words to the disciples walking to Emmaus, and later when he appeared to the 11 and those that were gathered with them. He obviously didn't want to leave them wondering about the events of his crucifixion. He taught them the meaning of the scriptures, showing that he was fulfilling them. We don't have the same experience that the disciples in Luke 24 had with Jesus physically standing among them and opening their understanding of the scriptures to see how all of it relates to him, but he does guide us. We've been given the Holy Spirit and the complete scriptures to know who Jesus is. And if you read those scriptures, you'll understand God's intentions for us to understand his plan of salvation. We're also meant to read and reread the scriptures a little bit at a time, constantly trying to understand its meaning for our lives. It is to our benefit to have the scriptures as the foundation for our lives, to know how to relate to God and to others. It instructs us for our marriages and raising children. It teaches us that our lives are supposed to be radically different from the world around us, so that we love our enemies instead of hating them. God gave it to us for the purpose of transforming and sanctifying and blessing his people. It is God's own words to us, so that we have a conversation with him through reading and prayer. We see this in all parts of Scripture. In the narrative history of the Old Testament, God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Biblical poetry expresses the same sentiment. In Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." The law also gave one of its highest orders to the kings of Israel, to make his own copy of the law and to keep it at hand at all times and read it every day, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, and that he may turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. The kings were meant not only to read the Torah, but they were meant to undertake the painstaking effort to make a copy of it for themselves. Once the process of copying the law was complete, then they were to read this copy every day so that they would understand the law in order to remain in the fear of the Lord, to govern the people properly, and to remain humble even though they were the king. They weren't, and we're not, excluded from these commandments to read the scriptures for ourselves. Paul reiterates the purpose of scripture to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, he writes, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." We're meant, as God's people, to grow and thrive under the tutelage of the scriptures, to be completed by them. But the primary function of the scriptures is to give knowledge of Jesus to humanity in order for God to give the gift of faith through the reading and hearing of his word. Jesus is the central theme of the whole Bible. The Gospel of John tells us that he is our creator. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. With that knowledge in mind, you can go back to the account of creation and realize the deeply intimate relationship that exists between God and man because of Jesus. Jesus, as God, formed the first human body from the dust with his own hand and created a living soul within it by exhaling his own breath into the vessel. When Jesus finished creation and his first people sinned against him, they received a promise in Genesis 3:15 that there would be a seed of the woman to overpower the evil that had taken hold of them. And this was not the only promise that was given to humanity. After Noah was preserved through the worldwide flood and humanity had once again begun to spread over the earth, God called a man named Abram from among the pagan people known as the Chaldeans. This man changed his name to Abraham later, meaning father of a multitude, was given the promise, "In thee all families of the earth shall be blessed." This promise was carried through Abraham's son until the tribes of Israel came from them. When the tribes of Israel were made into slaves in Egypt, God led them out by the leadership of Moses, brought them into the land that he had promised Abraham, and later allowed them to organize into a nation under their first king, Saul. When God replaced Saul, he replaced him with a man after his own heart, King David. It was David that received the promise that his son would have a throne and a kingdom set up to last forever. This promise is in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Also, the Lord tells thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Further time and history of the nation of Israel showed that humankind could never be faithful to God on their own. The command for the kings to make their own copy of the law was forgotten. The kingdom of Israel was split. All of the people fell into deep sin and idol worship. God allowed them to be taken captive by Assyria and Babylon and remain in captivity for 70 years, never really being restored to the kingdom that they once were. But even during the most heartbreaking moments in Israel's history, where it seemed as if they had finally destroyed their entire relationship with God, he was faithful. He allowed Israel to endure the punishment for their failure to uphold the Mosaic covenant, to follow the law that was given through Moses, but he did not go back on his promises to bring us a savior, a righteous judge. There was no revelation from God for 400 years until Jesus came to us. Jesus experienced every aspect of being like his own creation. He took on human flesh over his divinity, being both God and man at the same time, with the divinity covered in order to demonstrate fully how to live as a servant. He did so allowing himself to be born as a baby in a stable. He grew up in a lowly esteemed community, living a perfect life, demonstrating and teaching how to be truly human. His ministry gathered attention, but not for the purpose of exalting himself. His life was dedicated to teaching, serving, and healing. He intentionally sent away followers that didn't follow him for the correct reasons. He wanted followers that had faith in him and loved him, not those that wished to be entertained or gain something for themselves. He taught contrary to the self-righteous religious leaders that thought they could follow God's law despite the fact that they had thousands of years of history, that humanity was incapable of keeping it. Jesus allowed himself to be taken by these religious leaders for questioning, beating, and ultimately to be killed by them. He did so in order to be a perfect sacrifice for believers. All of the blood of bulls and goats in the world could not cover our sins. Jesus allows his perfect life to be a substitute for our own sinful lives by having faith in him. He took death upon himself, the punishment for the sin of people that believe in him and trust his work. Jesus did not simply die and stay dead. In our text, he showed himself to be alive afterwards. He was not contained by the grave. Death could not hold him because he is its antithesis. Antithesis. He is life. By defeating death, he shows us that he has life to give in its place. He returned to his disciples to finish his personal teaching to them, showing them that everything that happened to him was supposed to happen, fulfilling the promises of Scripture. And now he continues to work as our high priest. He acts as the mediator between God and man because he is God and man. The fulfillment of Scripture, waiting until his appointed time to return and show himself as the King over all things forever. Scripture reading isn't simply a history lesson. It's not meant to bore you with poetry and legal reading. It is meant to be an integral part of our lives, showing us the mistakes of others, God's forgiveness, and his plan of salvation through Jesus. It is meant to show us how to live as members of his current and future kingdom. This is why we encourage daily Bible reading programs. The programs are meant to be habit building so that you can read and reread Scripture, to connect concepts that you won't fully grasp the first time you read it. Excuse me. We're meant to use Scripture to communicate with and build our relationship with our Savior. It shows us who he is, what he has done, and how we are to live in order to please him. Thank you for watching. Please stay safe, stay warm, and hopefully we'll all have a good year together reading through God's Word.